Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And now, back to Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Donnie Wrightside here on Solo Mission Wednesday afternoon, right here on the grid. Hour number two now officially is underway. Having some fun talking everything. Hot topic is galore because why? Not too much going on right now in the sports scene. But also, let me give you an update here from Wimbledon. If anybody was paying attention yesterday, we did have some massive upsets on the side of the women's draw. They're now heading into the semifinals. And how about this yesterday? Swiatek goes down to Svitolina, and this was 7-5, 7-6, 6-2, which Svitolina ended up winning in the third set to move on. Jessica Pegula, however you want to pronounce that, Buffalo Bills owner's daughter, looked like she would have a complete in now. Top four seed there, goes down to Vondrousova, who now you have two semifinals on the women's side of the bracket. Svitolina and Vondrousova are going to match up. The winner of that actually gets into the finals. On the opposite side there, Jabeur versus Sabalenka. Now, that's a top six seed and a top two seed there. So no real surprises or massive upsets to get there. But you have an unseeded draw on the top end of the semifinals here to get to the finals. And then you have Jabeur and Sabalenka there who are waiting the winner of that match. That's going to take place tomorrow. Two matches, one at 8:30 a.m., and one at 10 a.m. Now, if you're following also along on the men's side here, Carlos Alcaraz beat Rune, who now is going to be scheduled to match up. And this is the, I guess this is a Saturday, Alcaraz versus Medvedev. Medvedev just beat Eubanks in an unbelievable match. That went five sets. Medvedev won the first set 6-4 over Eubanks, the American. Then Eubanks went 6-1, 6-4. And had Medvedev on the ropes, but couldn't close him out. Medvedev wins 7-6 in that fourth set, and then cleans up Eubanks in the fifth set, 6-1, to move on. So that's number one versus number three, Alcaraz versus Medvedev. And then as we saw, Djokovic, who, again, watching it on my TV now, it's already over, but I guess this is just the, it says live on my TV, but I don't know why it says that. Because it looks like the match is over. Maybe they're showing highlights at this point here. But Djokovic lost the first set, then a clean sweep the next three. 6-1, 6-4, and 6-3 to advance. So now it's Alcaraz versus Medvedev, and then Sinner versus Djokovic. And away we go into the championship. And it looks like Djokovic is always, it seems like, the guy to beat. And where are some of these young players out there now? We're trying to knock off some of these, you know, some of these young bucks knocking off these old guys. Guess that's not really going to take place. If we're looking from a bettor's perspective, which we always are, let's take a look. Let's go to the Wimbledon tab here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Men's matches. Alcaraz versus Medvedev. Alcaraz, a minus 250 favorite to get to the final. And then Sinner and Djokovic. Djokovic is a minus 610 favorite against a top 10 seed here in Wimbledon. That shows you how tough it is, you know, to match up against him. If we're looking at the futures market, Novak Djokovic is a minus 195 price to win it all. Carlos Alcaraz sitting here at a plus 250. Daniel Medvedev is at a 10-1. And I guess it's Jannik Sinner, I want to say. Was I saying Skinner? It's Sinner here. See how he ends up in that one. He's 11-1. But on the women's side, how about this? Sabalenka now takes over as the favorite at a plus 135 price. But Jabeur, a plus 185 price. So you have those two there, similar numbers, unlike the men's side of the draw, which has Djokovic at a minus 195 and Carlos Alcaraz at a plus 250. So keeping the people up the loop here into tennis, and really the only reason why we're talking tennis is, number one, it is a major, so there is some interest to it, but also, not much else going around here on the sports landscape. By the way, as I say that, though, the NBA does have Summer League today. Gives us all something to watch. And what I mean watch is afternoon action, 3:30 p.m. Eastern. Los Angeles Clippers, Memphis Grizzlies. The Grizzlies favored by 4.5, going up against the Clippers, and a total of 176.5. But it doesn't stop there. Minnesota Timberwolves and the Atlanta Hawks, 4 p.m. Eastern today. The Hawks a slight favorite at -1.5 and a total of 182.5. Then goes right in all throughout the night. A 5:30 game, the Warriors and the Mavericks. A 6 o'clock game, the Raptors and the Pistons. 7:30 game, Thunder Pacers. 8 o'clock game, Knicks Magic. 9:30 game, Nuggets Jazz. And then the nightcap, 10 o'clock out there on the West Coast, the Lakers and the Boston Celtics. So still some good things here to go through and say, you know what? Maybe you can make some money on it. I haven't bet any, by the way, of these NBA matchups in the Summer League. Just not familiar enough with the players and also what we're actually playing for, who's playing and all that stuff. But I know some people like to get down and watch some of this stuff, and it's pretty fun. It is. And if you're into the Summer League, which we are because there's not much going around, the NBA certainly hit on something just a few years ago by making this such a big deal, and it really is. Just a shame that we don't get more things like Victor Wembanyama. He's going away, obviously, waiting for bubble wrap into the regular season. You know, one of the Thompsons did get hurt. Scoot Henderson, we're probably not going to see any of those guys away here for the rest of the way. But still, a lot of interest here in that market overall. And we'll see how it actually plays out here. Now, do we have... Let's see if we have odds here to actually win the Summer League. I don't know if we do here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. But top four teams in the Summer League out there in Vegas do advance into a quasi-Final Four. See if somebody can lift the trophy here in the summer. Hour number two, as I said, is officially underway. The hot topics keep rolling along. I'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, yeah, just as we like it here. You know what I like? It's good stuff. Saquon Barkley's in the news here. NFL rumors account. This one came out at 12:43 Eastern, but just got retweeted across my timeline here. And as you guys know, I'm football ready. I'm ready for it. Any news, any notes that come across my desk here, I want to devour and just wait until the regular season comes. Now, there's one guy here that's waiting for the regular season. He's also waiting to get paid. He's signed to a, actually, I can't say he's signed. There's an offer sheet for a franchise tag that has not been signed yet by Saquon Barkley. And you say, did you see the market this year on running backs? It's not that great. It's a depressed market. Is Saquon Barkley a good running back? Absolutely he is. But understand where that market is at this time. Saquon Barkley has not signed that franchise tender, which means he's technically not on the New York Giants, and he doesn't have to go to any OTAs, which he didn't, and he doesn't have to go to training camp if he chooses not to do that as well. He's not under contract. If he did sign that franchise tag, he would be under contract, and the team could force him to go to OTAs and also training camp, and why wouldn't he if he had signed his contract, which means he would be happy with his overall deal. Now, as we take a look at Saquon Barkley, here's what's coming out, and this reads, Giants' Saquon Barkley is reportedly considering sitting out regular season games if he has to play under the franchise tag. Stop it. Stop. You'll be there. The jokes that I was making in the past, too, when Saquon Barkley, and again, it all goes back to a lot of Giant slander. Like the fact that, again, we can get into the hilarious contract to Daniel Jones, which is a severe overpay, where nobody wanted to pay him any money except for the Giants, and the Giants just broke the bank on him. Hilarious. I mean, that we could talk about that for days and have jokes for days on that stuff, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about Saquon Barkley, who midway through the season last year, the Giants came to him, hey, man, look, you're our guy. We want to make a long-term deal with you. We know next year, you know, we'll probably have to use the franchise tag. Let's avoid that. Let's get you a really good paycheck. Let's put some stability in your life, and we can come back next year and kick some butt and see what we can do. So Saquon in the middle of the year goes, you know what, I don't think that's enough. So the deal stays on the table. Once we hit the offseason and the market starting to, you know, evaluate itself, so to speak, the Giants quickly pulled that offer and go, oh my God, what were we thinking here? Like, running backs aren't getting paid anything here. Pull that off. That offer's not even on the table. You know what? Saquon, what do you want? Well, I want more than what you had on the table. Yeah, it's not happening either. So here's your franchise tag. Hopefully you sign it. We'd love to have you play at a salary of around $10 million, and we'll see if we can work something out long term. Well, Saquon Barkley is trying to reset the market, which he constantly says he's not trying to, which is ridiculous, which means he probably is, because they probably would have come to an agreement already. He was a high draft pick for the Giants. The fans love him there. We know when he's healthy, he's a quality running back, and they'd be more than happy to bring him back with Daniel Jones. But the fact of the matter is, there's no deal they're going to come to here. And quite frankly, I say, he probably is better off signing that offer sheet immediately before the Giants just take it away and pull it off the table. But the fact of the matter is, I would get such a big laugh if Saquon Barkley is actually getting advice from his advisors and his agents to sit out to start the year, as if the Giants would cave and then sign a running back to more money. This isn't the 1990s with Emmitt Smith, people. It's not. Running backs in the NFL, for the most part, are a dime a dozen. They get hurt, they get used, they get abused, they get kicked out. Hopefully they made some money in their term. Zeke Elliott got kicked out of Dallas. Well, he made a lot of money, so he can fall back on that. Saquon Barkley's made really good money being a high draft pick in the NFL and has another $10 million on the table, which apparently doesn't want to sign and thinks he's worth way more than that. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. But to the Giants in this market right now, where guys like DeAndre Hopkins are begging for scraps from other teams before they sign, he probably should get into camp sooner than later and sign that to make sure he has that guaranteed $10 million. And then next year can work off it. Because I get if you try to tag him again, that's probably going to go up to like $15 million. So 2 years, $25 million. Sounds like a pretty good deal for me for a running back in the NFL in this day and age. But Saquon Barkley saying that he might sit out regular season games is hilarious. There's no way he's going to do that there. So either the Giants and he are going to come to an agreement or they're not. But Saquon Barkley, Giants fans out there, you listening? Don't worry. Game one, he will be there behind center or behind the quarterback, whatever, and playing football for the Giants. And nobody's buying into a running back is going to sit out games because he wants more money in this market. You're not a superstar defensive end or a cornerback or a quarterback. Like, put it this way. In the football stratosphere, quarterbacks are everything in the NFL, right? Regardless of how good or bad they are, starting quarterback is going to get paid. That's just the way it is. And the Giants felt the need they had to pay and maybe average quarterback superstar money, which again is quite frankly funny to me. But in the same breath, Saquon Barkley is a really talented running back, and they're telling him right now to pound sand, and they should be. That's what a good ownership and general managing core does. Question them a lot. Like, Dave Gettleman was a horrendous general manager for the Giants, maybe the worst out there. It's like, hey, anybody can be better, right? I'm not so sure. Love the hire that they gave with Brian Daboll, but at the same time, signing Daniel Jones when you probably should have just let him walk and went out and got another quarterback, even at a cheaper price, to probably be way better than Daniel Jones is, they could have done that. And the fact that they so misread the market but just got lucky because Saquon Barkley and his agent weren't able to read the market of what that would be in the offseason, they got lucky by being able to pull that offer. But that news just came across my desk here. Saquon Barkley saying he might be sitting out in the regular season. That's not happening here. He's going to be under center for game one for the New York Giants, and that's what it's going to be. All right, let's move along here and set the table that we'll talk about into the next segment with the NBA. A couple of rule changes came in, which we talked about this morning. And also, Joe Ranieri and myself, a few weeks ago, you saw this coming into play. And also, Kevin talked about this with us as well. The flopping penalties and also the coaches' challenges. They were up for votes, they got ratified, and they are in now. So if you don't know what those two rule changes are in the NBA, the Board of Governors has approved an in-game flopping penalty that will be implemented for the 2023-2024 NBA season. Goes as follows. If a flopping penalty is assessed by game officials, the opposing team will be awarded one free throw attempt. So, granted, you're coming down, Marcus Smart's playing defense, he falls into the third row, you didn't touch him, refs blow the whistle, flopping penalty, one free throw for the other team. And again, they're going to get the ball back anyway. A player who commits a flop will be charged with a non-unsportsmanlike technical foul. The player will not be ejected from a game, but based on flopping violations, which is stupid. A technical is a technical. Doesn't matter how you get those there. Argue with the ref, knock a guy into the sixth row, low bridge a guy when he's trying to dunk. Technical, you should get the same result. So if you have a flop and a mouth off to a referee, both resulting in technicals, you should be ejected from that game. So I do disagree with that. Also, the third part of this, officials will not be required to stop live play to call a flopping violation. They can wait until the next neutral opportunity to stop the play. Now, the interesting part about that is going to be is what happens if there was a flop that was not called? And this is late in the game, final 2-3 minutes. Every possession matters. When they're going to go to the monitor and then call a flop, and then give another team a free throw and the basketball, that's not going to make too much sense there to me, to be honest. But I don't even think you need that rule anyway. If you just call a flop, if a flop is the same as a foul, like you see flops a lot on what? Let's just say charges. Like if you get a charge called on you, that's a foul as an offensive player. If a charge is not a charge and the ref calls it a block, what happens? It's a foul to the defender. So why wouldn't it just be called the same way here? Like if a player is going to the rim and somebody flops underneath him, just call the foul on the defender and keep it moving here. Like just teach these referees what to look for. And I granted, I know it's almost like a game where they're trying to sell. And sometimes you don't quite see what you see, if that makes sense out there. And I get it. But just call it like it is. Put extra emphasis in the offseason on referees trying to spot a guy faking it out there. And you'll get what you want here. We're going to talk about the coach's challenge coming up next, and also James Harden, where he might end up, or is he already at the place he's ending up? Find out next. Come on back. It's Wednesday afternoon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here, hour number two, having some fun, by the way, surfing through social media, particularly Twitter, over the commercial break, always gives me like fresh topics to go on. Even if we don't have much going on here, you know what I'm getting a kick out of right now? The New York Yankees. And you say, well, what do you mean? Like Gerrit Cole pitched yesterday, I get it. We're waiting on news for Aaron Judge. We'll see what they do in the second half of the season. Maybe they make some trades or not. But how about this? The Yankees put out one of those, how long is this clip here? A 22-second clip. But the caption reads, "The New York Yankees are proud to welcome Star Insurance as our new signature partner," which if anybody is watching sports, every single team eventually will be a walking billboard, just like NASCAR is. It's the same way when you show up, let's just say in Yankee Stadium, Citizens Bank Ballpark, wherever you go, Citi Field, it's already a walking billboard. Every section of that outfield stands the minute you walk in. It's advertising everywhere. You can't get away from it. So the Yankees today announced that, oh, look at that, because, and hear me out on this too. This is also coming from a perspective of a guy that's not a Yankees fan. So I do like to poke fun when I can. It's okay. It's okay, Yankee fans here. There's a patch on the arm that's designed to make the team more money, and you're losing your mind. Did you guys lose your mind like the Nike patch hit the uniform? Oh, what a disgrace. There's a Nike patch. Or were y'all excited when, I remember when I was, I don't even say growing up, to say maybe in my late high school years, early college years, I want to say they had like the futuristic nights in Major League Baseball where they just basically said, give somebody a crayon and a computer and design a uniform that it would look like in the future. They were horrendous. But the Yankees were almighty Yankees. We will not participate in this because of our jersey. And I got news for you, Yankees fans. Put the name on the back of the jersey, would you? Enough with the nonsense. Put the name on the back of the jersey. But I don't know how, because like, they announced, and it's so funny, like the intended consequences too. Because Yankees fans are the ones that would get upset. The jersey, it's ruined now. It's soiled. We will never be able to get our jersey back. The disrespect of it. But the shrapnel that would come back to whoever Star Insurance is, which I never heard of, which probably paid a ton of money to get on the Yankees uniform. But I also like the fact that the Yankees put out the tweet that's basically like, it was like a good news tweet. Like, hey, by the way, we just re-signed Aaron Judge. Like, no, it has a picture of Aaron Judge. Looks like Garrett Cole's in that video. As if fans like, oh, that's so awesome. I'm so happy that Star Insurance is our partner here. I'm sorry, I got to laugh at that. It makes me laugh. It does. But I know Yankees fans will get bent. And we'll all enjoy that. Any non-Yankees fans that they figure their jersey is absolutely ruined because of Star Insurance, a tiny little patch on the sleeve here. I also got caught up in the New York Mets when they had, I guess it was Methodist Hospital, whatever hospital it was. The patch looked like a Phillies color. I mean, stop the madness out here with this stuff. People do get upset, but it is the new wave. You just got to get used to it. Hockey is littered with this. The entire ice is painted, basically, with Taco Bell ads and local casinos and all that stuff, too. It's just a wave of the future. If you own the New York Yankees and everybody was moving and the Apaches got approved in Major League Baseball and you saw the Mets, and I don't even know what the prices are. The Mets got $20 million a year from some hospital just to put a small patch on the jersey that goes right into the owner's bank account. You're doing it, too. Trust me, you're doing that, too. If you show up to work every day, I don't care where you work, and another company comes to you and says, hey, I know you work for FedEx, UPS, whoever it is, just put this little logo on your sleeve here, like your polo shirt that you wear to work. We'll bump up your salary by 25% every month. You're wearing that patch, too. Stop it. Just a wave of the future. It's great that the Yankees of all teams can't use ads. Well, you want Ohtani? Yeah, you're going to put ads all over the place. Remember we talked about the Cincinnati Bengals? Hey, by the way, Joe Burrow isn't signed yet to a new monster deal. We all know that. But the fact of the matter is, they got ready to pay Joe Burrow. Why? Their stadium, Paul Brown Stadium, isn't called Paul Brown Stadium anymore. It's called Paycor Stadium. Why? Because they got to pay Joe Burrow coming up soon. That's why it changed here. And that's why the Yankees, they're not foolish. They know the game changes, how much more money you can put in your pocket, the new players you can afford, or just you want to become richer owners. It's business. If somebody is here to do business, they'll take it. But I would like to see if there's like a backlash. Like, is there like a Yankee account right now saying, we call for the boycott of Star Insurance? Is that going to be out here sooner than later? It probably is. All right, let's get to the NBA once again. But I did want to get sidetracked on that and have some fun with it because I always get a kick out of the sanctity of the Yankees jersey. Stop the madness. That thing is going to look like a billboard in 5 years. You wait and find out. All right, coaches challenge rule, which I actually agree with this rule here. If anybody knows in the NBA, it's already implemented where you get one coach's challenge. But the thing I always thought was interesting about that one coach's challenge was the simple fact that you only had one and you couldn't get another one. So even though I always use this example, you see it time and time again in the NBA, a clear out-of-bounds call that was missed by a referee. The players go crazy in the court. No, no, he hit it. He hit it. And you point to another ref. You saw that, right? This guy hit it out-of-bounds. Hey, man, I didn't see anything. We're going to go with the original call. Whereas if the coach would just pop up and he looks up at the jumbo trying to go, man, it was clearly out on the other team. If I use my challenge now, we'll get the basketball back. But I don't want to risk it just in case I really need that challenge in the second half, which is always kind of funny to me. It's like, just get the call right. Now, granted, you don't want coaches' challenges coming in every 30 seconds because if something was missed, the game would slow down. And during the regular season, it's not that big of a deal. But I do like the fact that it states here, the new rule will award a team a second coach's challenge if its first challenge is successful. For game flow reasons, a team will not retain the timeout used to initiate its second challenge, regardless of whether it's successful. Now, that's stupid. You're going to give them a challenge if the first one is correct, which means you messed up. So the second challenge, like, yeah, you can have it, but we're going to charge you a timeout as well. That doesn't make sense here. The timeout-related rules governing a team's use of its first challenge will be unchanged. Stupid. If you get the first one right, you get another challenge. If you get that one right, it's not costing you a timeout. That's just dumb. Why are you going to penalize the basketball team because your referees actually missed the call? That doesn't make any sense. So miss me with that one here. I like the fact that the coach is going to get a little bit more, but my goodness, that's just a dumb rule that's put in. Now, other big offseason news here that we've been tracking all along. And in the NBA, as we like to say, the offseason sometimes just as electric as the regular season. Here's what we got. Because it seems like we're going back and forth, and it's almost like a circle right now. James Harden, if anybody didn't know, Philadelphia 76er, opted into his player option on his contract, about $36 million. So he would be a Philadelphia 76er. But while he did that, he told the Philadelphia 76ers, nah, I'm going to opt in, but let's work together and get a trade. I'm sure Daryl Morey said, okay, we'll work together and we'll see if we can find a trade partner for you. So as time went by, there is no trade partner out there. Nobody wants to trade for James Harden. Nobody wants to pay him $36 million. Nobody thinks they want to give up draft capital and also player capital to get James Harden. And where is he going? And who is he going to help? The best spot for James Harden, by far, is going to be on Philadelphia, team-wise, and also for James Harden. Keep in mind also, James Harden did opt into that player option, which means he's not eligible for an extension. So it's not like you say, okay, I opted in with Philadelphia, I'm going to come back, we'll work out a long-term deal, and we'll see if it fits for both sides. Or, hey, I opted in, trade me to, let's just say, the Clippers, and the Clippers told me already they're going to give me a three-year extension for the money that I was looking for. That's where I want to go. Not the case. He's not eligible for an extension. He's got to play this entire season. Then once it's done, he does become a free agent. He has no chance to sign an extension with anywhere. So James Harden, it seems like over the past couple days, hey, you know what? There's a really good chance he returns back to the Philadelphia 76ers and Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey and Daryl Morey, new head coach Nick Nurse, and maybe they can make a run at a championship. I don't think they would win it, but maybe get to the third round of the playoffs instead of the second round of the playoffs like they keep getting to. However, Legion Hoops, 5 minutes ago, sent out this tweet, which I guess was confirmed by Ramona Shelburne. It says, despite time passing to cool off, James Harden has reiterated that he wants to be traded from the Philadelphia 76ers. So if it was Patrick Beverley reaching out, heck yeah, I want this guy on my team, or Joel Embiid saying, you know what, be nice to have James Harden back. He just doesn't think that he wants to be there. But anyway, okay, so he wants to go to the Clippers. Who's going to be in that deal? The Sixers don't actually have to trade James Harden. Because let's think about this. If they trade James Harden, you just got to get back some salary back. And the packages that were coming back to the Sixers based on trades are just horrendous players. So if James Harden opts in, they call his bluff and say, look, you're going to play here in nowhere, and he sits out. Well, A, you don't have to pay him. And B, where was your season going anyway? You're going to make a trade for a couple backup players that probably wouldn't have a major impact? Meanwhile, the Philadelphia 76ers is kind of crazy. The process is going to start again next summer, where Joel Embiid's still on their contract, Tyrese Maxey is on the team, and you would open up through Tobias Harris and James Harden's deal basically two max slots that you can use. So the Sixers, to me, 2023-2024, almost seems like a throwaway season. Be a little bit more fun for us Sixers fans if James Harden did come back to the Philadelphia 76ers, because they'd be more competitive at least during the regular season. Without James Harden getting basically nothing back, I don't know what's going to happen. I might as well just put Joel Embiid in bubble wrap and say, hey, kid, take the year off. We'll see you next season when we get a revamped lineup for you here. But the fact of the matter that James Harden is still saying he wants to be traded, we know he probably has a destination in mind. But the same thing with Dame Lillard. Now, Dame Lillard's a much better basketball player right now than James Harden is, even though James Harden averaged a 20-10 last year and was pretty good in a couple of those playoff games. Where's that market? Sixers going to want to return here. That's just giving them away. Neither is Portland at that point. Moneyline on a Wednesday. Donnie Wrightside. Be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's official, people. In a time where you thought we couldn't get any more NFL news, something nice dropped down today. And if you were following along, all throughout the offseason, there were a couple teams that were eligible to be on Hard Knocks. One of those teams was the New York Jets. Now, a couple of the teams, I believe it was like the Bears, the Saints, I want to say, And one more team, which again, the insignificant teams. Like nobody wanted to see any of the other teams on there. But the New York Jets, once they realized that it was a possibility that they could be the team that would be on Hard Knocks, they went out in full force and basically told the NFL, don't you dare. Other teams would love this. We don't want this. We would like those cameras to be on another organization. I'm sure those other organizations would love it, but make sure you don't choose us here. And we all laughed. And why did we laugh? Because the only team that made sense to put on Hard Knocks was the actual New York Jets. The Jets look like they're going to be high-powered. The Jets loaded up on talent. The Jets now have Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history, starting their journey. And the NFL, again, behind the scenes, they were probably lobbying against it. Hey, look, don't do this here. We're going to be a good franchise. Other teams probably actually want this thing. But the NFL knows their market, and the NFL knows their product. And they knew, saying, now, hold on here. We can't force teams, technically they can force them on. But usually it's not like, okay, we're going to pick this team and nobody else has a criteria to get in. There were other teams eligible. The Jets were telling the NFL, please don't put us on here. But the NFL's a business. If you're going to put a team like, I don't know, the Arizona Cardinals, let's just say, on Hard Knocks, which I don't even think they were eligible, but who would actually watch that? Who wants to watch that? The Minnesota Vikings, you want to watch them on Hard Knocks? No. You want to watch a team that is compelling. You want to watch a team that you believe can do some damage in the season coming up. You want interesting storylines here. You want superstar players. And also, you want an organization that probably doesn't want to do it because, you know, now you might get that extra oomph. Aaron Rodgers, he loves the spotlight. He tell you he doesn't like it. He tell you he can't stand it. But then goes on podcasts every week and trips on psychedelic drugs and goes away and hides for days at a time in dark rooms and then loves to come out and talk about it here. And then come out and lie to the media and say, like, you guys are forcing this story. No, we're not. Next, you believe Aaron Rodgers honestly didn't want a trade out of Green Bay. Stop it. We know better than that. We don't get caught up in any of these lies here. But Adam Schefter tweets out 4 hours ago, NFL and NFL Films have selected the New York Jets to serve as this year's team on Hard Knocks. Per sources, Jets report to training camp 1 week from today, which is July 19th, and the cameras will be rolling in full force. It's perfect. It's probably the only place you wanted to go with it this year because you have a little bit of controversy, a little bit of fun, and also, again, as I said, when the organization technically doesn't want to be a part of it, that always adds to the intrigue. Now, I'm not a huge, let's just say, Hard Knocks guy, per se. But if it is on, I will watch some of it here. The fact that it's the Jets, I'm a little bit more inclined to watch it. I am. You know, we can only get enough of the Dallas Cowboys going up the Napa Valley and to their training camp. And Jerry always puts on a good show, and they got some superstar players. But it'd be nice to see this year the New York Jets here and how open they will be. Because as we know, in the coaching ranks in the NFL, it's a proven fact. If somebody gets a single glimpse of one of your plays, you probably don't win a football game the whole year because everybody knows your game plan. Meanwhile, every single play you run in a game is on tape that the other team can scout and get ready for. Just one of those things coaches get nervous about. Oh, my goodness. If we let a camera in here and they see that we stretch, then go to 7-on-7, and then do team activities on the goal line, I mean, we're not going to win a game. Everybody's going to know our game plan here. Every single team. Stop it. Let me tell you something right now. You can film the coaches' meeting. You can film the quarterback's room. You can film the running back's room, the wide receivers. Heck, you can send an actual playbook to all 32 teams in the NFL with your entire scheme in it. And let me tell you something here. They already know. They already know what your playbook is. They watch it every single week. They know what it is. This is the preseason. This isn't cameras coming into your building on a Thursday installation period where you're saying like, hey, here's our trick play for the day and putting it on tape. No, you're not. You're in training camp. Stop the madness here as if you think something's going to come and hit you over the head and you're going to lose because somebody filmed a play that they weren't supposed to in July that you were saving for like Thanksgiving Day. Stop it. Not going to happen here, but it is fun that the New York Jets here, something to keep an eye on. By the way, if you guys have been following along, we just expect that, hey, you know what? In the NFL, Daniel Snyder and the Washington Commanders, are going to be sold. And they're heading down that path here. Looks like Josh Harris and a group of investors came up with a scratch, $6 billion plus, whatever it is, to sell that team. But we're still getting snippets here, which is so much fun. Because it just goes to show the depth of such a creep that Daniel Snyder actually was. The news coming out today comes from a blackmail, apparently, that was going on from the Washington Commanders side against some other people in the NFL. The leaks there that get caught up, right? Remember the John Gruden scenario? Supposedly that came from the Washington Commanders. They let the leak get out there, which caused John Gruden to get fired and puts the NFL in a bad light. Well, we know the worst light you can possibly have is with Daniel Snyder. Terrible owner. Horrendous on the field, even worse off the field. Lawsuits, lawsuits, lawsuits. A once proud franchise in the dumpster. One of the teams that had the largest waiting list in the NFL to get season tickets to begging people to actually buy their tickets to go to a football game. It's going to help the Washington fan base that Daniel Snyder is finally gone. But taking a look at that bullet point presentation that he gave, which was basically, hey, you got to defend yourself, and had nothing to do with defending himself, but just putting other organizations and emails and comments in a bad light. But also it appears from these emails and behind the scenes that Roger Goodell was like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to poke this bear right here. We're going to, like, I'll handle all of the institutional, you know, penalties that they're going to get, the fines that they have, the bans that he might have. Nobody's going to get any say. Because if I push this lever too far in one direction, he's got some dirt on some other owners. Now, there are some owners out there that have a lot of dirt on them, no question about it. Maybe you've said some things in private to other owners that wasn't supposed to get out. Maybe those owners, similar to like me and you, we have text messages, we have emails. You get an email or a text message from another owner. You shoot off the cuff with that other owner. He saves that text. He puts that text out there. Now you're in trouble. See how that goes? So it was almost like they were just waiting to wait out Daniel Snyder before he could get out of the NFL, sell your team, we'll fine you a little bit, we'll try to push you on the way out, but finally, just get out of here. But apparently here, he was just going off the rails, basically saying to myself, I have dirt on everybody. You push me out, I'm pushing all of you out as well. So thank gosh, somebody came up with the cash here to buy the Washington Commanders, and Daniel Snyder looks like he's going to be on his way out. But who knows? Maybe he sells the team, get his billions into the bank, and goes, you know what? I'm going to fire another couple emails out here and just drop them off to certain people in the press that they can put out here just to mess around with the NFL and always just sit back to myself and say, yeah, I didn't send that out. So, no. Hey, Daniel Snyder, you sent that? I didn't send that out. I don't know where anybody got that from. So we'll see if that saga continues for Daniel Snyder. You know what's another interesting saga? A lot of people out there are shoeheads. Love sneakerheads. Love to collect. Love to buy Jordans. Love to buy the hot shoes. Trade them online. Sell them online. Make money. Wear them. Don't wear them. Put them up on your, let's just say, mantle or your hundreds of Jordans that you have in the closet. People like that and get down with it. I like sneakers. I don't collect them. I wear them. Get a new pair. It's what I do. And I'm also not saying, let me go back and get these retro ones. I might walk through Kohl's. Look, I'm 45 years old. I walk through Kohl's. Hey, look, good pair of sneakers there. You know what I wear now to walk my dog? Skechers. Yes, the most comfortable shoe I've ever bought. I'm old. I don't care. I'll wear Skechers all over the place. So be it. I don't need a fly pair of Jordans, the Jordan 11s or the Jordan 9s or whatever special edition that we have. The reason I'm bringing this up is Kyrie Irving signed with Anta, A-N-T-A, a Chinese shoe company, which he's going to come out with his celebrity shoe. When I heard that, I was like, hey, man, he's getting the bag, and, that's what everybody wants, and we'll see how it works out. Don't we know how it works out? Honestly, don't we know how this works out? Answer me this. Like, I guess my heyday here of, I don't want to say, what's the word I'm looking for here? The 1990s, right? That was my heyday of coolness, right? So 1990, I was about, what, maybe 13 years old throughout the end of the decade, 23, so, somewhere in that realm, right? 13 to 23, you're growing up, you want shoes, you're playing sports, you have all that stuff. Look good, play good. I always wanted the best cleats in football, the nicest basketball shoes you could get. We were all like that as kids. But let me tell you this. If you weren't wearing like Nike, what were you doing? Maybe Reebok, I guess, like the pump. Remember, I mean, you guys, some of you kids out here listening, too young to remember it. Pump up your shoe. Big deal from Reebok. A lot of people had those. And rightfully so, they were a pretty cool shoe. Adidas got a little bit of play As you started moving forward into the 2000s, it was still the big shoe manufacturers that were taking control of the game. Nike, Adidas, Reebok, fighting for superstar athletes, custom shoes to be made, but it was always Nike. Nike was always in the lead. Everybody wanted to wear Nikes. Same thing in football. I always wore Nike cleats here. Loved Nike cleats. The most comfortable, the best looking. You can get whatever you wanted there. Nike wristbands, Nike gloves. So we were all Nike'd out in high school and college. That's what we did. It's what we liked. So it's interesting to me where Kyrie Irving goes to another shoe company. And I used this example this morning on the Early Line with Joe. When you're getting into shoes, right, who is one of the biggest superstars in the NBA? Right now, all the kids look up to him, love him, and rightfully so. Steph Curry, one of the greatest players the NBA has ever seen, maybe the best shooter in the history of the sport. He wears Under Armour. I got to tell you right now, see kids, grown adults, nobody's wearing Under Armour sneakers out there, man, because of Steph Curry. But let me tell you something right now. If Steph Curry had a pair of Nikes, like if he was signed by Nike, people would be rocking those. LeBron James is Nike. You know, for most of his career toward the end of it, Kobe Bryant was Nike. Michael Jordan was Nike. Then Jumpman, same under the same umbrella. Everybody loves Nike. Even you can get away like you see like some of the superstars with Adidas. They were okay. Reeboks, yeah. Used to get some play. But Anta, I don't care what's... Like, if Michael Jordan was like, you know what? I'm selling my Jordan brand. I'm going with Anta. And I'm going to make a new fly shoe. I don't think people would wear it. I really don't. And I don't know what the breakthrough is going to be, but we've seen so many shoe companies come and go outside of like what we like to call the big three that just don't make it because your mind is trained a certain way for decades and decades and decades. And by the way, our mind wasn't trained on Nike because it was like, I just don't like, there's nothing else out there. Like, no, Nike was a great product. You wore a Nike shirt, Nike shorts, Nike warm-up jacket, Nike coat. You know, everything was Nike. Nike hat, Nike wristbands, Nike headbands. Like, we were all decked out back in the day because Nike was cool. And Nike put out really nice products from basketball shoes to football cleats. They were it. Like, Nike was the best by far. I mean, every once in a while, you want to sprinkle a little bit of Reebok. But throughout my life of playing football, it was Nike, Nike, Nike all the way through. It really was. The shark cleats back in the 90s, oh, man, couldn't get enough of them. Nike Speed Touchdowns I used to wear in college trying to get the lightest shoe I could possibly have. And by the way, we were orange, white, and black in college. Fantastic structure. When my senior year, junior year, come on, man, you know what I was wearing. Orange and white cleats, had the orange spandex. I mean, I was ready to go. But everything was Nike. If you did it Nike, it looked fantastic. So we'll see if Anta works out for Kyrie Irving. I don't think it's going to. I don't care what the shoe looks like. Unless, I guess, it's a Nike swoosh that sort of looks like the Nike swoosh, but it's Anta. Maybe that'll pass. But Kyrie Irving's going to get a bag. I'm not so sure if that's going to be a return on investment that Anta is actually going to want. One more segment before we get you out of here on a Wednesday afternoon right here on The Grid on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick little segment before we get you out of here for the day right here on Moneyline. Tomorrow, K-Dub comes back. We take one step closer to getting back to civilization here with a full card on Friday. But tomorrow, a lot more hot topics all the way through. We'll start to preview some NFL action and certainly get you ready for the second half of Major League Baseball. Again, not too much going on today in the sports landscape, but we do have a full slate in the NBA Summer League out on the West Coast here. First game, I believe, as I said, is going to tip off in about a half hour. Let me just see if that's still current topic here. Okay, 3:30 p.m. Clippers and the Grizzlies. That'll tip off. And then you got it all the way through the evening. Coming up shortly here, we will have the playoffs here. Should I say maybe the knockout stages? Probably a better term to use in the NBA Summer League out there in Las Vegas. No Major League Baseball today. No Major League Baseball tomorrow. But we will have Major League Baseball a full slate getting back on Friday, which is always an interesting day. We'll see how those starting pitch-up matchups will be. Which guys party too hard? Sloppy baseball. Could probably look forward to that for at least Friday, Saturday, and Sunday before everybody gets back into play. Or should I say, everybody is going to get back into play, but just getting back into their groove probably makes a little bit more sense. Tonight to look forward to also, I don't know, maybe watching some of this Wimbledon action. Most of it right now are replays here that I'm watching on ESPN. And then tomorrow, early in the morning, we're going to get a start in the Scottish Open out there. And also, you're going to get the Barbasol Classic. Those two golf tournaments, a precursor to next week's British Open, which will be out there. So championship golf and away you go. And as I said again, we're not far away. You just heard me talk about Hard Knocks, which the cameras, as Adam Schefter said, will be rolling in mass next Wednesday here in the state of New Jersey. And that is going to be to take a look at the Jets and preview their season as it goes. So a lot to look forward to. Thank you guys for choosing us today. And as always here at the Sports Grid Network, even when we don't have a ton of sports going, we are here to entertain, have fun, and be informative. And I think we did that today. Tomorrow, Kevin will be back on the show. We'll have some more fun there. For JP, behind the wheels of steel, your boy Donnie Wrightside here on a solo mission. Thanks for tuning in on Wednesday edition of Moneyline. Tomorrow, you guessed it, man. We will be right back here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.